Well, again, Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Christmas can be exciting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk to you today. The name of my message is Christmas, the birth of a plan. The birth of a plan. As I was ministering to the Lord, and just this really came across my heart at the season we're in the church and what the Lord's been talking to us about, and just even just then, what he was exhorting you about is we're in a season change. Hallelujah, it's a new season. The birth of Jesus was all about a new season. It was about a new way of getting to God. So this is the birth of a plan. One of the things I want you to know about God is he's a planner. He's a master planner. And really, from the very beginning, the birth of Jesus was planned out. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't plan B. It was always the plan. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was the Word made flesh, and yet he was always slain as the Lamb from the foundation. And so from the very beginning, God decided to send his Word to send his Son. You all know this scripture. For God so loved the world that he did what? Who did he give? And who is that? Jesus. And what is that? That's his best gift. The Bible talks about if he gave you Jesus, his best gift, what would he ever withhold from you? I said, what would he ever withhold from you? He's a good God. Amen. And so he wants the best for you. And so the birth of Jesus was an elaborate plan. And it started in the book of Genesis. Can you believe that? Christmas started in Genesis. Genesis what? Well, Genesis 3:15. Remember, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the Lord told them, don't eat of this particular tree. And how many of you know they disobeyed, right? And then the Bible came, and the Bible talks about the serpent, who is the devil, Satan himself. He was in the garden, and he was the one that tempted them, that they gave into. And so Genesis 3:15 says this. It talks about how, I want to read this to you in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, because I want you to see this. This plan was from the very beginning. Genesis 3:15 says this. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it will bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. What's that talking about? That's talking about the virgin birth. That's talking about Mary, Jesus, and it's talking about the devil. And so the devil, because what did he think in that moment? He thought, I've got God's creation. Because remember, even the angels looked at the men and they said, who is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you go visit him? What is this Adam and Eve thing? And then the devil, understanding what God was doing, he went and he tempted Adam and Eve. And right when they had the fruit taste in their mouth and they had disappointed God, God had a redemption in mind. God had a change of season in mind. God decided right there, because Jesus was the Lamb, and it says this, and so I'm going to get a woman, and she's going to have a seed, and he's going to be all God, and he's going to be all man. And devil, Satan, you may bruise his heel. What does that mean? That means the seed of the woman is crushing, and then it says, but he'll bruise, I like one translation, says, he'll crush your head. He'll crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Now, I've often said this, and it may have irritated a devil or two, but this is where I first see, and I like to say it, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. This is the birth of Jesus. There's a Savior coming. There's a Deliverer coming. You may have messed up man for a little bit, and it was like 5,000 years later. You may have messed up man for a little bit, but I'm going to have my man. And it's not plan B. This is not plan B. Jesus has been willing to be slain from the foundation of the world. And you may bruise his heel. You may bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And that's the birth of a Savior. That's the birth of Jesus. God had a plan, and he had it from the very beginning. I want you to see that his plan is elaborate. And then let's see how this plan came to pass. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. This is very important. The virgin birth is part of our redemption, our salvation. It is extremely important. And so let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Out of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are thee among women." And so he came to her and told her she was highly favored. And this is the part we see of the conception of the plan. Now, I want you to tell you, the conception of the plan is not just about Jesus, but it's about salvation. Remember, we looked at salvation over the last 3 weeks, last 4 weeks. We looked at salvation. Salvation is a plan, and salvation is a man. Because later on, you're going to see that those that were waiting said this. They were waiting in Luke chapter 169. Zacharias prophesied, and he said, "And hath raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And then one took him up in the arms in chapter 2, verse 30, and says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So I want you to see that Jesus is salvation. So I'm talking about a plan today. So what is that? The plan of Jesus, yet the plan was salvation itself. And I want you to see something about God's plan today as we look through this. That he formulated a plan. He intricately went about and announced his plan. He didn't do this in a back corner. He did it for everybody to see and know. It shouldn't necessarily have been a mystery to anybody. He clearly made Jesus the plan. He provided for his plan, and he always protected the plan. And I want you to think of that, and we're going to look in correlation today, and we're going to talk about we also have a plan. Individually, every one of you in this room, you have a plan. God has a particular plan for your life. And so when you look at the plan of Christmas, when I look at Christmas, I see this. As I've studied on Christmas, being a pastor for 24 years, I've studied about Christmas, and I've been able to pull things. The Holy Ghost showed me things to pull out of this. And this is one of the greatest that I think I've ever found, is that the plan of Christmas, the plan of the birth of Jesus, the plan of the birth of salvation for all of us, and then correlating that to each and every one of us have a plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God's got a plan for your life." What kind of plan? Is it a good plan? Is it a good plan? Amen. It's a good plan. And so we're going to look at the conception of this plan. And so let's read on verse 29. "And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled," verse 29, "at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary." Would y'all be a little shaken up if a little angel showed up, a big angel showed up? "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor." Oh, that's the second time. So anytime in Scripture you see a word repeated, you ought to look and see why it's being repeated. And so she has favor. Do any of you have favor? Do you have favor with God? Do you have favor with man? Does favor encompass you like a shield? Is that what the Bible says? What is favor? What do we know about favor? Well, we just know it's not fair. What does that mean? God does things for you that he can't do for other people because you're favored. People will start doing things for you even if they don't like you. Suits will be settled. Houses will be reduced. Free things be given because you have favor. And who do you have favor with? Well, I have favor with God. I'm highly favored. Well, that doesn't sound right. Well, you're highly favored too. Come on, turn your neighbor again. Come on, you're favored. You're favored. Tell them you're favored. Who are you favored with? I'm favored with God. I'm favored with man. Amen? "And behold," verse 31, "you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, so now here's the beginning. An angel's coming. This is not just in a story. This is an account. This is how it really happened. Gabriel shows up. Young Mary, who is supposed to be getting married to Joseph, an angel shows up and says, "You're highly favored." And she's thinking, what kind of a greeting is this? And who are you? And why are you here? And then he's like, then he's talking about you're going to have a son and all this kind of stuff's going on. I want you to understand that Mary is just a young girl and she's all these things are going through her head. And so she asked a legitimate question. Then Mary said unto the angel, verse 34, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How many of you ever have questions about your life? How, when, where, what, why? I mean, how many of you know? I don't know about you, but I can do a lot of mental gymnastics with those questions. How's this going to be? When's this going to be? I like the when one. That's the biggest one with me and God. When, how, why? How, you know, have you ever tried to help him out? With you could do A, B, and C, and we could be done with this. You know, we all do that, right? Try to help out the Father. How many know he doesn't need our help? But we try to help him anyway. But she's asking a legitimate question. And when he can tell you the answer, he will. She's like, "Well, how's this going to be? Because I don't know a man. How's this going to be? If this is really true, how's it going to be?" And the angel answered in verse 35 and said to her, "The Holy Ghost." Anybody grateful for the Holy Ghost? "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing will be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who will be called barren." Why did he throw that in there? Why did he throw that in there? Because he's like, "Girl, I'm going to help you out." Heaven's already done something else that will confirm to you that what is going on is real. This is not a figment of your imagination. This is not something. This is real. And your cousin, who is older and can't have any children, she's got a baby on the inside of her. How many know that was John the Baptist? That was her cousin. And so what was the angel doing? What did God allow? He allowed some natural confirmation to say, this is real. And she obviously needed that. And then verse 35, verse 37. "And then he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible." How many believe that's true? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible with them that believe. How many know, even in the Amplified, can you put that up, Luke 1:37, the Amplified? What? Amplified classic version, please. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible." And listen to this. "And no word from God." Have any of y'all had any words from God? "Well, I wish God would give me a word." Well, he's given you a lot of them. They're in Genesis all the way up to Revelation. "No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." What has God spoken to you? What is the plan for your... Listen, just like God had a plan for Jesus, for salvation, God's got a plan for you. Listen to this. When you were in your mother's womb, before you did anything right or before you did anything wrong, God knew your name. God knew your name. He may not have told somebody what to name you, but he knew your name. Even if someone said to you, you were an accident, or you were a mistake, you're not an accident with God and you're not a mistake with God. He's got a plan for your life. The Bible talks about in Jeremiah 1:5 and Galatians 1:15 how while we're in our mother's womb, God knows you. And I tell people this all the time. So the plan, the purpose God has for your life, it's not for your, you don't get to decide it. If you're going to do it God's way, you get to discover it. And God's got a great plan for you. I said, God's got a great plan for you. God's got a great plan for you. Just like he had a plan for Jesus, just like he had a plan for salvation, God's got a plan for your life. And he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I want you to see this. So what happened is then Mary said this, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So in order for the will of God to be done, somebody had to agree to it. Somebody had to. You see, a lot of times when people make this mistake, they really believe, well, if God wants it to happen, he'll just make it happen. How many of you know this is one of the most important things that ever happened? Are you with me? Would you all agree? This is one of the most important things from God's perspective that needed to happen, that had to happen. He needed Jesus, and he said it from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, that a man was coming through the seed of a woman. Notice, just through the seed of a woman. And he would be all God and all man, and he would crush the enemy. And the Bible talks about him as salvation. And we all needed salvation. This was the biggest thing God ever had to do. And it's interesting that God needed a little girl to cooperate with him. It seems like God can't get anything done on the earth unless we cooperate. And she said, out of her own mouth, Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. In other words, her will was involved that the plan of God would come to pass. And so if this big thing, it's not all up to God. Whatever's going on in your life is not just up to God. Well, I thought just God was in charge of everything. My mama told me God was in charge of everything. Your mama was wrong. God is a sovereign God, but he needs mankind to cooperate. Adam and Eve chose to disobey. Jesus chose to obey. What are you choosing? I'm choosing to obey. Let's obey. But Mary had to obey. She said, be it done unto me. And so then when she agreed, then God's power could come. Then God, be it done unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. And so you and I have to see that our will is involved. Then I want you to see this. Then remember, she went over to Elizabeth's house. Then they had a Holy Ghost meeting. Y'all remember that? Because when she came in, Mary's like, she said the baby leaped in her womb. He was doing the Holy Ghost thing. I mean, John the Baptist getting filled on the inside. At six months in the womb, he was doing something in there. He was leaping. And then suddenly, Elizabeth said, how is it that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? And then she began to prophesy. And in verse 45, I want you to see this. And blessed is she that believed. Who believed? Mary believed. Are you a believer? Blessed are you that believe. Why? Why? What does God want to do? He wants to perform his word. I said, God wants to perform his word. If he spoke something, he wants to perform it. But what does he need from you? He needs your will, because faith is a choice. Believing is a choice. You either choose Jesus or you reject Jesus. You either choose the Lord or you reject him. You choose. Faith is a choice. Believing is a choice. And so here, she said, blessed is she that believed. Everybody say, blessed am I? Because I believe. What did she believe? She believed those things that were spoken to her. Have you believed those things that were written to you? Have you believed those things that the Lord spoke into your heart? Have you believed them? If you really believe them, if you've chosen to believe them, then what does the Bible say? There shall be a performance. And when God does a performance, it's not off in a corner. When God does a performance, it's for everybody to see. There is a performance that is coming for your life if you will believe. There is a performance coming of the word of God in your life. He will perform. My God supplies all my needs. He will perform. By the stripes of Jesus, my body is healed. He will perform. Peace be still. He will perform the word of God that he spoke to you if you will believe it. Elizabeth said to Mary, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, there shall be a performance of that which was spoken to you of the Lord. There shall be. Come on, there shall be. It's going to be done. It's going to be done. What's your part? God's ready with his part. What's your part? Your part is your will. Just yielding to the Lord and then believing. There shall be. Blessed is she that believed. And there shall be a performance of those things spoken to her of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's look at this plan. Let's take a step back and look at it. that's intricate. That it was from the Garden of Eden. It was throughout the Word of God. God dropped nuggets through men of old about what he was going to do. I just want you to see that God didn't do this where nobody could have known. So first of all, he prophesied about the birth of Jesus, where it would be. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, how many of you know when that this was prophesied, they didn't figure this out? Because they were thinking natural. They were thinking too natural. With God, you got to expand your thoughts and understand who he is. And that he can do things that nobody else can do. And he said, so there is coming a ruler, and he's from old. How many of you know that old is from the beginning of the world? Jesus was the Word of God. He's and from everlasting. From everlasting? Who's from everlasting? Jesus is from everlasting. And we know, where was Jesus born? Anybody know? Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, right? That wasn't a trick question. Where was Jesus born? Was he born in Bethlehem? He was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because that's what it was prophesied where he would be born. The Lord knew that's where he was going to be born. And so, another thing, that he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A sign. What's a sign? It's something that points. The golden arches are signs to what? See, y'all know that. They've done a good job over the years, right? Not, that's your sign. They don't even have to say anything. You just know what those are. Big Macs. That's what that means. I'm a little hungry. And so there's give you a sign. What's the sign? What's and this points to something. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. If there, you ever hear about a virgin conceived, don't throw it away. That's what he's telling them, because it's a sign. It's a sign of a season change. It's a sign of everything's about to be different. It's a sign of there's a different way to get to me now. There's a sign of salvation. It's a sign to something. And behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And you know that Jesus was God with us, God in the flesh. And then you know that was fulfilled because of Mary. And then I like this one. This is interesting. In Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son up out of Egypt. Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. When he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and there he was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Why do I bring all those things up for? Because God, when he does things, he prophesies them. He has them recorded. People speak them. They read them. They talk about them. Why? Because he needs words so that he can fulfill it. He was bringing Jesus to Bethlehem. He was bringing a Savior born of a virgin. And he was going to hide him for 2 years while an enemy tried to kill him. I'm telling you, this was an elaborate plan. And salvation, if all we did was just talk about Jesus and what that plan was, that's wonderful because that's the season. But the Lord just really instructed me to help you with your plan. I want you to see something that God really has thought about you. You're not supposed to just wander through life. You're not just this human being aimlessly wandering through life with no reason to be here. You've got a purpose. You've got a plan. And when you were in your mother's womb, before you did anything right or before you did anything wrong, before you were all that or you think you're nothing, God had a plan for your life. Whether you were a mistake or somebody believed God for you, God knew you in your mother's womb. And just like Jesus in Mary's womb, he had this plan all planned out. Salvation was all planned out And it was on purpose. And now your job and my job, if we've got to be like Mary, well, Lord, I believe I'm highly favored, and whatever you've got for me to do, I want to know what it is. Ephesians 2:10 says you prearranged a good life for me, and I'm going to find out what that is. And I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to accept it because I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life. I trust you. And you've got to understand that along your life and you can find in the Word of God who you are, and you can find whatever God's spoken to your heart and the desires you have in your heart, He wants to bring to pass. So how are we going to get there? Sometimes I think we in the church, especially our kind of church, we're just always looking for something spectacular. Spectacular. I remember when I was a, I don't know why, I don't think I've ever told this. Why am I telling this story? When I was a little kid, and I was staying at my cousin's house, and they were being very obnoxious, and strange things were going on in the house. And I remember I think I was 11 or 12, and I remember I was just having a real crisis time in my life. And I remember doing this. I can take you to the house where I did it in. I was laying in bed. I was like, God, if you're real, make that light bulb go out. What was that? I was struggling with my journey in life, and I wanted him to prove he was real to me. Of course, no light bulb went on and off. Because we're always looking for something spectacular. When God just needs you to believe that he is. He just needs you to believe that he is. Nobody else was around when the Holy Ghost came on Mary. Nobody was there when the Holy Ghost brooded over the earth when God said, let there be light. But we have to take it by faith that it really happened. And in your life, don't always look, if you're always looking for the spectacular, you'll miss the supernatural. For instance, some of you already know this, but why was Jesus, whom God prophesied that he would be, born in Bethlehem? Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? I submit to you that it was just what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Luke chapter 2. And they all went to be taxed. Woo! Glory! Anybody love taxes? Yeah. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, that's where he lived now, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the lineage of David. Verse 5, to be taxed with his espoused wife, being great with child. Okay, now here's the picture. I don't want you to miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. Mary is about to give birth to the Son of God. She's had to talk to Joseph. What do you think an interesting talk that was? Hey, guess what? Pregnant with the Son of God. Cool? How many know God had to talk to him? God had to talk to him. Let him know. That was interesting. And he believed too. He had to believe too. He had to believe too. And now he didn't get to throw her in the back of an Escalade and head down 65 to go somewhere. He put his, I heard this one preacher lady, she was talking about her daughter one time. I thought it was rude. I didn't understand it. She's talking about her daughter. She says, she was heavy with child. I was like, wow, that's just rude. But I guess that means it was like time. She wasn't talking about her weight. She was talking about it's time. Mary, it was time. How many know he put her on a donkey? Maybe the best donkey they had, but it's still a donkey. And then they were running down to Bethlehem. How many know that wasn't a couple minutes? However long it took him to get down there. And she's riding, ready to give birth. And they get down there, and what are they going? And can you imagine Joseph's mind? He's going to see all his cousins. This is where he's from. And everybody doesn't know what's going on. Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through his head as he was leading the donkey with his wife who was about ready to give birth to the Son of God? Sometimes in our life, though, we overanalyze things because why is he even going to Bethlehem? He's going to pay his taxes. That doesn't sound spiritual to me at all. And what I've learned in life is if I'll just do every day what's in front of me to do, that there are supernatural encounters along the way. If I'll just obey God every day, whether it looks like fun or it doesn't look like fun, whatever it is, God makes arrangements even in the natural course of day. Even that, I mean, maybe the Lord says, that boy goes to Subway every day, I'm going to send somebody there to encounter him. Wherever you're on the way to work, something will happen. I mean, God can do anything, but don't look for it. It all has to be spectacular. Supernatural things can happen every day of your life. And the Lord knew because he prophesied that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so then when they get down there, how many of you know? The inn is full. Makes a great story now. Jesus born in a manger. But none of that looked like the entry of the Son of God. And sometimes where you start out or where you feel like you're at now, it's not your end. It's not your end. You just got to keep going. Are you with me? Are you with me? So I wanted. How does God bring it all about? Don't worry so much about the how. Just do every day what you're supposed to do. If you got to go pay your taxes, pay your taxes. If you got to go to work, you go to work. You just do every day what you need to do. Amen? And then when they got down there, then Mary, in her due season, Jesus was delivered. And I just had that on my heart for you, and I was exhorting you about that before we looked at the message, that I believe there's a season change. I believe it's your due season. Let's look at these scriptures. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And so it was that when they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. When the fullness, there was a season, a 9-month season or whatever that is, that it's time. And I'm telling you that for many of you in this room, it's your time. It's your season. Let it go of things that are behind, pressing toward those things that are ahead. It's your due season. But it says this in Galatians 6:9. It says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap. So it's your due season, but what's the devil going to try to make you do? What's he trying to do in this season? He's trying to make you weary. I want to tell you this. This plan, how many of you believe the plan of salvation, it's the biggest plan? The biggest plan God ever had was the plan of salvation. But listen to me, he had to protect the plan of salvation. Because you think, well, if it's God, it's just going to happen. But even this, the plan of salvation, he had to protect it. How do I know that? Well, we already looked at it a little bit, but let's go back to look at Matthew chapter 2. And I want you to think about this. God's not just going to protect you, he's protecting the plan inside of you. Listen to me. The plan that you are, what you're supposed to do with your life, affects other people than just you. As a parent, my plan affects my child. My plan affects you all. My plan affects my employees. But your plan may affect someone you don't even know yet. I often think of this one. I often think of the Sunday school teacher who led Billy Graham to the Lord. Maybe they didn't think they were doing anything for God. But maybe that one day when they saw them, Billy Graham up preaching or anybody or whoever, doesn't matter whoever, just use him. But see, sometimes you think your plan is insignificant, but you're scheduled. You have an appointment with destiny. You're supposed to be doing something for God. God's got big things for you to do. So he wants to protect the plan. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 15 again. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Well, this is what I know about the devil. Herod was inspired by the devil to do what? To kill Jesus. Why? What's he trying to do? Kill God's plan. But what did God do? The Lord told me this not very long ago. He said, every time the devil has a plan, I have a better plan. Anytime the devil's trying to destroy you, you look for God's plan because there's always a way out. Whenever the devil has a plan, God has a plan. And sometimes God's plan seems to be hidden, but if it's hidden, it's hidden from the devil and hidden for you. And so right here, he said, and Herod will seek the young child to destroy him, verse 14. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, verse 15. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. I mean, even in that, I mean, you know, so for 2 years, Joseph and Mary and Jesus had to go live in Egypt, and they were from Nazareth. I mean, they didn't know anybody down there. When they went to Bethlehem to have Jesus to pay the taxes, they probably weren't even planning. They were probably hoping that he would go back and be born in Nazareth around where he lives. But even while they were there, now we got to take another turn and we got to go to Egypt and hide. And yet God had a way. God had a plan. What was that plan? We three kings of Orient are. No, he didn't have me planning to sing. He had three kings who came from the east, that God put a star. That's not a story, that's an account. There was a star. Remember those three kings came to Herod and say, where's the new ruler? We've come to worship him. And remember Herod said, well, when you find him, come back and let me know because I want to go worship him too. But these three kings brought what? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And what was that? That wasn't what we do in the play. You know, in the play, we bring a nugget of gold, a little bottle. That's not how they came. They came with camel loads. They came with camel loads. What happened to those camel loads? They went to Egypt, where Jesus and Joseph and Mary were taken care of. Listen to me. God's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to protect that plan. He'll provide for you. He'll help you. He'll watch over you. Because the plan that you are, it's not just about you. When you make it quit being just about you, your life will get easier and easier. Because it's who you can touch. Jim, when he was taking the offering, we believe in prosperity around here, not to heap it upon ourselves, but we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? God's got a plan for you. I'm so grateful for the plan of salvation. I'm so grateful that Jesus was protected. I'm so grateful that Jesus grew up and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I'm so grateful that at the right season, at another season change, Jesus laid down his life. He took my sin, he took my guilt, he took my shame, and he nailed it to a tree. He nailed it to the cross. But on that third day, he rose up from the grave. But it all started with what we're celebrating right now. It all started with Christmas, what we call Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Jesus.